LSU was like, I was scared every single time I went to practice because I knew I was about to run my best time at practice. And I feel like I threw up at practice probably every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. It was intense.
I'm Trey.
I'm Quest.
And we're your hosts. Each week, we'll seek out and interview the heroes that live amongst us.
And each week, we'll ask them to tell us the story of an adventure that challenged them, stuck with them, and forced them to grow.
This is our truest adventure. You start to run track at LSU.
I did.
And then you end up on the Olympic team or...
Hold on. That was before.
Okay. Sorry.
And it wasn't the Olympic team. It was the Olympic development race. Which is like just a name.
But true or false.
Then you start running track at LSU.
Yes. So I...
Freshman?
Yes.
Got it. Okay. Yes. So then how many national championships did you win for LSU?
Zero.
Okay, now I'm confused.
So,
because you're like a standout runner
in high school. So here's the thing about track. It's very different from all the other collegiate sports.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
When a track team qualifies for nationals, that means specific athletes from that team have qualified in their event.
Right.
And they have so many athletes that they can score as a team to potentially win the title as a whole.
Okay.
So my freshman year, I was very young. I was 17.
Yeah.
My entire first semester, I didn't turn 18 until outdoor season. But anyway, so you work very hard and you run lots of races to make qualifying times to then qualify for regionals. And regionals, you then qualify for nationals. I got injured before regionals.
How bad of an injury?
So what happened was I never really lifted weights when I was in high school. We did, but not like Olympic lifting. Mm-hmm. LSU was like, I was scared every single time I went to practice because I knew I was about to run my best time at practice.
Wow.
And I feel like I threw up at practice probably every Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Ugh.
It was intense. And so we were Olympic weightlifting, doing snatch, clean pull, all those things, but deep, deep squats, like down near the floor. And so what I didn't know is that I gained 15 pounds. While that sounds like I'm making an excuse for my freshman 15, it's definitely not.
That is
not
a different take on the freshman 15.
I gained 15 pounds in my first semester. And what I didn't know was happening is that my knee, which is why I had to ice my knee just now, was rubbing and becoming rigid and my cartilage went away.
So that sounds painful.
We went to SECs and I ran, I think it was like 1/10 of a second or 2/10 of a second short of the regional qualifying time. After that race, I was never able to run the same again. When I was warming down, I was limping in a way that my coach was like, "What's wrong with you?" And I was like, "I don't really know." And then when I was walking, my knee would go out like crazy. So I didn't go home during the summer. I stayed down, at LSU so that I could train, but because I was still so young, I was 18, so I was a qualifying age for junior nationals, which I would have done very well at, but then I was injured. And so I stayed the entire summer so that, the trainers could try to figure out what was going on with me. So I started lifting weights because they were like, "Oh, your muscle's weak on this side. You need to lift weights." And I was like, okay. Then they tried this thing. I think it's called Synvisc. I can't really remember. They injected this stuff in my knee. And it was supposed to like bond to it and like just like go in where it had become rigid.
Oh my God.
Then they also gave me cortisone. Is it cortisone?
Yep.
Cortisone
shots.
Yeah.
So that I would be able to run. And then what I didn't know at 18 was that was like the worst thing that could have they could have done. I still couldn't run towards the fall. And my coach was like, I mean, we're technically investments.
Right.
And so I was an investment. I can't run. So for some reason, they were like, "Oh, let's get an MRI." I got an MRI and I was in surgery the next day.
Ah,
whoa.
And so I got an MRI. They went in there and I got a scope, but they did a little bit more because they saw that there was a lot. There was scar tissue in there. It was very rigid. So they smoothed it out. And then I was in an immobilizer for like, I think people technically are in it for like a week. I was in it for 2.5 weeks and I had the most, is it muscle atrophy?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like I had to relearn how to walk again.
And
whoa. So this is
why
fall.
Do you know why the muscle atrophy was so significant?
Because it was, I had the immobilizer on for like 2.5 weeks. Like I wasn't moving it at all. And so that was like the most painful experience, both physically and like mentally. I'd never been injured before, ever. And so this is my first injury. This is off the heels of like running my best time after all the work that I had done and knowing that I was like young enough to qualify for this thing that had always been my dream, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going through this and like they had this thing where they were scraping the scar tissue out once I got the immobilizer off. That was the worst. And then I was training in the pool, mm-hmm. which actually pool training is kind of good. Like I was training in there in some semi-decent shape. But then when I got on the track again, I just never was the same. Like people that I was beating in high school or people that I was on the same level as a freshman were just whipping up on me and like improving and like growing into these elite runners and just being wonderful. And I was at this level that it was worse than high school. And so throughout the fall, like I went through the motions, and this is the fall of 2004. And so spring 2005 came and I went to my coach and I was like, I can't do this anymore. I was like so mentally depleted and like in the worst place ever that I was like, I'd rather just take the risk of being a student now and like give up on this thing that had been a part of my life, my entire life to this point. And then rather like beat myself up mentally and like it was bad. And so I quit.
You stopped running sophomore year.
Mm-hmm. Well, wow.
End of sophomore year.
Yeah.
Wow.
And yeah. What was your coach's reaction in that space? Was he like
he understood. I think he could see like while I was like mentally like in the worst place ever, I think he could see that my heart wasn't in it anymore.
Sure.
And while like he saw that in me, but that was like me trying to figure out like what's next, because that was my identity. I was a runner when I was in high school. Oh, that's Whitney. That's the track girl.
Yeah.
Like that was my identity. That was like everything that had cultivated me as a person. Like my mom knew me as that. My coaches knew me as that. My friends were on the track. Like all my friends freshman year were all on the track team. And so he saw like my heart wasn't in it when it was really just me trying to figure out like who am I?
Right.
Like who am I outside of this? How do I exist out of this realm of everything that I knew up until this point?
And what's so interesting, right, is because you said all of that and every person that you said that knew you as a runner, you even say your mom, I'm sitting here thinking, well, shit, Whitney, I know you.
Yeah.
As a runner.
Yeah.
So here's my question is, it's a, two questions, really. A, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then B, how did you come back to running?
Jeez, who am I?
Yeah.
Golly.
That's like you said.
What
like,
kind of question is that? You said, like, I have
you, had, you had to figure that out and right. all these things. And like you had always identified as a runner. So I'm assuming that like you went through this period where you found that and this is who you are. And like, I feel so silly for not thinking about more than that
yeah.
from how I know you as a runner. And obviously I know other things about you and like sure. what you do profession wise, but who are you? Like, how would you describe yourself to someone?
I am someone that loves loud and gives quietly.
I love that. That's amazing.
I really
for not
am.
Having it when I ask, that was pretty right. quick to come up with that.
I don't know.
There's no way I could possibly describe it. Gets poetic. I love loud and give quiet. What?
Huh?
I am. That's like
it's amazing.
If I walk out of this house and pass away, I hope that that's what people say about me. I hope that that's what I'm remembered for. Like, even in my professional world, like I hope that the people that I coach to be awesome every day remember me as someone that like really loved on people. Like I really enjoy people. I love working for people. I love like assisting people to see their best self. Like that's who my parents raised me to be, even though during that time my mom knew me as my runner, my daughter.
Yeah.
But she knew who she made me, who I was ripened to be.
Yeah.
And that's who I am.
That's amazing. And then so like in that space of time where you're stepping away from it, it's like you were explaining the thing that you identified as your entire life. And you made like the, what seemed is like the, it's an either or choice. I'm either going to be a student athlete or just a student. Like, how did you choose the direction in your studies that ultimately brings you to what you do today?
I am a melting pot of all my sisters. And I had seen them. There's only one sister. She is a doctor. She's an OBGYN. But my other sisters, my sister Saudi, who's closest to my age, majored in communication. She wrote for her school newspaper. She's a photographer. And my sister Diana, that's 7 years older than me, she's a photographer. Like, she knows how to communicate and love and like teach. Like, she's a homeschool teacher now. Mm-hmm. I am like a mosh posh of all of them. And so when I, before I even went to LSU, I was like, I'm gonna major in communications. Although I thought it was an original thought. I like, if you would have asked me, I would have been like, oh, I just thought about that myself.
Yeah. Right.
I knew I was always looking to be just like them. And versions of them and like taking pieces of them and trying to be just like them. And so that's where that came from. And I loved it. And I wanted to be just like them and show them like, I'm on your team and we can do this together. And eventually we can have our own shit together and like be excellent communicators and tell stories together, which might still happen.
Yeah.
Still so much time.
Oh, yeah, so much time.
There's all the time in the world to make that happen.
So much time.
Okay, so for the people listening at home, I know you as being like this just ridiculously talented photographer. Like, probably.
You're projecting, and now I'm getting weird.
No, I'm not trying to make you feel weird at all here, but like, this is part of what we're doing too. And like, this is like God's honest truth was we were having a conversation about having you come on the podcast. And it was like, maybe Whitney might be like too big for the podcast. Like,
oh,
she might not.
Stop.
No,
and
like,
how
this
did
is,
I, go
this
ahead.
Isn't, this isn't this. We're not trying to like blow smoke up your ass here, but you are an amazing, talented, like, and well renowned person in your field. Like, that's the thing. And so we were like, we might be shooting a little high here.
Right.
Do you think she'll come on?
I'm super glad that you shared that with her because I think she thought I was just being funny when I betrayed some of that like lack of confidence in asking her. Because what did I say to you? I was like, we may not be like, well, I can't remember how I phrased it. It was like, we may not be big enough for to have you.
And
on.
I said, and what did I say? Who? Am I even cool enough to be on this?
And I thought you were mocking me.
No.
Yeah. And we all know that's like what it is, right? Right. Like, the real cool shit has 100 listeners.
Right, right.
That's
us. Well, so our top downloaded episode at this point is probably like 115, 120.
Hey, yo.
All 120
so, like,
of you out
there.
Let's
put that in some quick perspective here. Yeah. I'm just going to jump on the gram real
quick. Yeah. I'm going to get really weird.
That's here's okay. You can get like, weird here because you need to be bragged on. Like,
you do. Okay, so first off, so I don't have to do it. How do people find you? Because we're not done with this interview. But
That's cool.
Yeah, how do people find you?
I can say that.
Yeah, how do people find you?
I'm at Tumax, T-W-O-M-A-C-K-S.
Okay, and how
and that's
did you
on
come
Instagram,
up?
Right?
On the gram.
On the gram, she's Tumax. Okay, how did you come up with Tumax?
Oh, this is a sweet story.
Yeah, and this is a question I've been dying to ask you.
So my little cousin, who is not little, she is a grown woman, is about to graduate college.
Congrats.
From SUNO. Hey.
Hello.
She wanted to create a blog.
Yeah.
And at the time, I was actually working for the Pelicans. Sorry, formerly the Hornets. It was the Hornets at the time. Uh-huh. And I felt really square because I worked long hours. I didn't really have an outlet to express myself, and I'd never tried to be creative. And so when she wanted to create a blog, she was like, can you help me? And I said, sure. And so that's where the two comes from.
Uh-huh.
And then she was like, I want it to be about music, art, clothes, and shoes. And I was like, okay, that's cool. What about music, art, clothes, and kicks?
Yeah.
And so that's Mac. And
oh.
So two Macs.
Mind blown. That's all.
So wait.
That's awesome.
So here's the thing.
That's awesome.
So this blog thing never happened. we started. So the first thing I could like could think of was like, oh, we need to get that Twitter handle because Twitter's a thing.
Yeah.
So we got the handle. And then like 2 weeks later, she was like, I don't really want to do this. And I was like, well, okay, I don't have a Twitter handle, so this is mine now.
Yeah.
And that's how, and it just became, it stuck with me. And I liked it because it didn't say Whitney.
Yeah.
And even when Instagram became a thing, it still didn't say Whitney. And I felt like that allowed me to show the beauty in all the people around me and not just a selfie.
Yeah.
And people wouldn't question that because they already didn't understand the name and it didn't associate. It wasn't directly correlated to me.
Yeah.
And so that's how that started.
Yeah. And when I say you are one of the just like premier photographers, I mean that. Like, people should go check out 2Max. I feel like I'm telling a lot of people that are already like one of your followers now, because like when this podcast comes out, people, we have 69 Instagram followers. I just checked.
Hey, yo.
I'm not making it up. I'm going to screenshot it right now just so that it doesn't change.
We have 67
Instagram followers. I'm screenshotting it right now just so
I will be 70.
70.
You
better hurry before your episode drops and we have some of your 60,000 followers.
How many followers does she have?
Oh my gosh.
She's at 60,000 Instagram
followers.
You
heard the man the first time.
No.
He did hear the first time, but this is how we're going to brag on you.
Let me be real though. I heard you when you said 60,000. I apparently looked a couple of months ago when it was only 22,000. I've been telling people 22,000 and was impressed with that. Yeah. Your shit is triple.
I didn't know it was at 60 either. And when you and I were talking, I was under the impression that it was at 22,000, something like that. And I was like,
Whitney's not going to be on the show. I just really wish we could move past the numbers.
No, we can, but it's just like. The reason,
if we were all a bunch of girls, Chatty Cathy in here, right. right now we could have a conversation and it would be like, size doesn't matter. But if it was like three women sitting in this room, I bet that conversation changes quick. And if it were three dudes in the room, we'd be like, it does matter.
Yeah. But let's be real about it, right? We can move past the simplistic thought of like, oh, the number's big, right? Mm-hmm. But in reality, what that means is that there are 60,000 individuals who believe enough in what you're doing through the medium through which you've chosen to communicate with them that they've connected in that way,
That's exactly right. That's the thing. And this is what's so interesting. So the first time I met you was it was the first 504th run.
Mm-hmm. When Quest came up and was like, we're running now. And yeah. You really ran now.
At that run. So I met you there, right? And so this is like one of the things that was so crazy. We all run. We get lost. It's awesome. The run ends. We're grabbing some wings, going to have some beers. And then you're gone. And I was like, who was that?
Yeah.
Who was that? And for a couple of weeks, it continues on. It was like, who was that Whitney there?
Right.
And it was like, I'm spending time trying to figure out who you were. Right.
Right.
And then it turns out that it's you, 2Max. Uh-huh. And I've been following you on Instagram as a fan of the art. And that's what Quest is saying right now is like, we can get past the number. But like, respect the art. And anyone that really knows me, if you ever come over to my house, you'll see if you go up into my bedroom, people take tours. Quest, come on. You can get as weird as you want on Lolo Jones and all of a sudden, it's not like, anyway. But people like, so if you go around my house, I have a lot of photography up. Like Richard Sexton and all these people. Frank Relly, I love photography. He's my absolute favorite medium. And so like when I figured out it was, he was like, holy shit. And it's just beautiful. Like the way that you use light and color and just, it's so vibrant. It feels so alive. And it's just one of those, like, I'm hard pressed to think of someone that can capture the like richness of the color of this city,
mm-hmm.
in a better version than you can. Like, I literally can't. And so it's one of those, like, we can easily get past the number. We don't have to keep dwelling on that.
Thank you.
Yeah. But the reality is you have a lot of fans, and you have a lot of fans because, and I know this because I have had conversations with people like Frank. It is so hard to take a damn picture. And if you go to my Instagram account, you will see how challenging it is to take a damn picture. I am like everything that is horrible with digital photography. It's like, I probably have 5,000 photos on my phone right now. Six deserve to be published anywhere. It's just like thumbs. My dad sent a video to me today of the dogs on the farm before I got up there. And his fingers in front of the lens. And I was like, I definitely, where'd you learn that, son? I learned that from you, dad. I learned that from you. And so it's just, I really want to just double down on that again, triple down on just how talented you are.
I appreciate you
behind the lens. It's amazing. And
I receive it.
Good. And that night that you ran with us, damn, you're fast.
You're fast.
I can't believe that it's like you're over here icing your knee right now. It's like I've had a knee surgery too. I don't run anywhere near your speed. I am blown away and just at this.
And it's like this positive light in life, right? Because Whitney is like wildly popular and amazing photographer, but like doesn't carry herself in such a way to be standoffish. So she comes to this first 504th run and it's just like having a great time at the run.
Well, I didn't know anybody. I kind of just had to get in there.
Right. But still, like, there's a lot of people who wouldn't have approached it that way. And we do all these hills down and back. And I remember the first time I met you because I had the very dramatic entrance to the run, which was like, we're running.
Yeah.
I'm Quest. We're running. But when we stopped that first time, my nose is bleeding. Ow. When we stopped that first time, keep going.
Go through the pain.
When we stopped that first time, I remember the first time I met you
was it sounds so bad.
I can't deal with this right now.
Just dab it.
Just dab it. Just a dab.
Standing at the top of the overpass.
And we took a picture.
And I high-fived you.
Yeah.
And you were like, no, higher. And you like stood on your tippy toes. And I was like, who is this girl? But you were smiling and so happy. And it was all the love that like the 504th is about. I was like, hell yeah, we rock with it. And then you, same thing, you disappeared. And then same thing, a couple weeks later, oh, that was Tumex. Are you serious? Tumex was running with us?
What? Huh? That was amazing.
I can't.
Okay, so you can't, and you knew this was coming. I got to hit you with it. What's your truest adventure in running?
Oh my gosh. I don't really know how to answer this. You know what? I guess my truest adventure is I really enjoy feeling like I did in high school. So running with a group of people, no matter where it is, which is why I really like the 504th, because we run all over the city. So I guess it's not necessarily a location. It's that feeling of like being a part of something and feeding off of the energy of other people around you. Is that an answer?
Yeah, that's a great answer.
Okay. And so I think that, but that's like my life story. Like I really enjoy the energy of other people and like feeding off of that and like running next to someone that feels like they're running in their best form or their best shape or like pushing themselves in such a way that they hadn't pushed themselves throughout the beginning of the day. So I feel like I just really like running with a group of people who are committed to whatever is going to happen, whether it be 5 or freaking 13 or I'm never running a marathon, but however long it is.
I feel like you said that before.
I am not doing a marathon. Yeah,
that's the problem is like you start saying stuff like that and then all of a sudden I'm just not doing it. I said I was never going to run an ultra again. And then I decided to run another ultra.
Yep.
And then I had decided I was going to run another ultra. And I ended up blowing out my knee and I was like, well, that's a sign. I'm done with ultras. And then flash forward 2 years, I just ran 31 miles. So you're going to say things.
Crazy. It's just not going to happen.
You're going to say things.
You're crazy too. You're just not crazy as us yet.
13 is enough. And that's a lot.
It is a lot. Okay. So I got to go back to that question that I was thinking about a second ago because it was a two-parter, right? That is like, how did you get back into running after you got hurt then? Like you stop running, you find you, love loud.
Mm-hmm.
Then how do you get back into running?
I did not run or jog for years.
Like how many years?
I don't know. Maybe 5 or 6 years.
Holy smokes.
I just didn't. Wow.
Did you do any other form of working out?
Yeah, I worked out. Yeah, I would go to a gym or I played flag football, which was weird.
That's awesome, actually.
Cross train.
I did that, but it was like a heartbreak, like a breakup.
Yeah.
Once I stopped, I couldn't deal with it. I kind of had to just let it be.
Yeah.
And because that was my source of purpose. That was my life.
Yeah.
And I had to let it be and allow myself space to discover who I was. And so I didn't run at all. Yeah. Oh, actually, what's really funny, I started running again because of Youth Run NOLA.
Oh.
They don't know that. Yeah.
They probably know that now.
They know now.
They don't. Well, so okay. So I went cold turkey. Then I moved to New Orleans. And then my friend Brandon Williams, do you guys know him?
I do not.
He works for Adidas now. But before he created this blog, Claim Your Journey. Uh-huh. Did you hear of that?
No.
So he lived in Baton Rouge. He created this blog, Claim Your Journey, and he took over the running scene. It was insane.
Yeah.
This man, everything he touches is gold, which is why he works for Yeezy now.
Yeah.
In Portland.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, so he started this blog, and so I was I'd love to help with it. And so I wrote about playlists you should listen to when you're running. And then I also covered races and would film and take pictures for them so they can post it on the blog. And then he made so many different connections. And he was there's this group that does that provides mentors for young runners, and it's not competitive. And they bring them to a lot of different races, and they're in New Orleans. Go cover them at this race. And I think it was the Turkey Trot. I can't remember. I think that was the first one, or it might have been a Girls on a Run race. And so I covered them. And then Alex Lebo was the founder of it at the time.
Yep.
Or he is the founder.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But at the time, he was my contact. And so when I talked to him, I found out more about what Youth Run NOLA was about.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my God, this is full circle. I'm supposed to be involved with this.
Yeah.
Whitney, dust off your shoes and get your shit together. And I didn't have running shoes because I hadn't run in so long.
Yeah.
And so Brandon Williams gave me this code for a Saucony to get myself some shoes.
Do you still have that code?
No, it's gone. It was one and done.
One and done. Okay. Sorry. Just had to ask. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I was just like.
So he gives me this code to get some shoes. And I was like, well, shit, I guess I don't have an excuse anymore.
Right.
So now I have these shoes. And then I became a running buddy. And that's how I started running again.
That's amazing.
That's legit 1,000. I get, it's so crazy because I hadn't even thought about this.
Wow.
But that legit is that's what happened.
Wow. And our listeners have the perspective now because Denali's been on the podcast.
Yeah.
She's been interviewed, so they know crazy. All about youth.
Full
run.
Circle.
That's,
yeah.
That's insane.
But that's really and I don't know that at the time, I don't know that I was oh, I'm supposed to be doing this. This is my calling. But it just happened in such a way where the universe was look, and I see in you that you want to be a part of this. And then Brandon gave me shoes. He didn't know.
Right.
He had no idea. Then he gave me shoes because running legit shoes for you to be running miles cost way too much money. And at the time I wasn't making any money. Thank you, Hornets.
Yeah.
I was poor. And so I got the shoes and I had no excuse.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But I wasn't consistently running then. I more recently I've gotten back into consistently running, actually running 3 miles in the morning, every morning, going on a morning run.
Mm-hmm.
But that was when I actually gave running a chance again.
Wow.
Yeah.
Through Youth Run.
Yeah.
Wow.
Super.
That's
cool.
So funny because I legit have not thought about that until just now.
Yeah.
Mm.
But it's you continue to give back to Youth Run, right? You've
consistent. I told you I didn't want to talk about this.
Whatever. And I told you I was going to talk about it anyway. Like, you consistently have volunteered with the organization, right?
Yes.
And then, like, so you've started this new kind of path in fitness to complement running, right? Where you're a cycle instructor, right?
I am.
And then tell me, will you just explain to this part I know you're comfortable with. You only teach certain classes at the place where you teach cycle, right?
Yes. And I am very comfortable with this. Thank you.
I know.
So my past job, I was the program director for FitNola. And FitNola is a program that was created by the mayor of New Orleans to create equity and access around healthy lifestyles. Because there are so many gaps in New Orleans, whether it's access to healthy foods or just access to like actual fitness opportunities.
Yes.
Just so huge gaps. True. It's so sad. And there
across the country.
Yeah. Well, across the country,
but here
New Orleans is like so different. Special. Like yeah. They're like, NORD does a wonderful job with creating programming at parks, but in New York, like everybody's in the park. Everybody's right. Playing back. Like everybody's doing something somewhere.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, just here. And there's this get like, there's this mental gap. And then there's this like actual physical gap between access to healthy lifestyle options. And so I was the program director for 2.5 years and I needed a shake up in my life. And so I was changing jobs. And now I work in digital media. And when I was leaving, I had like the deepest conviction about it.
Yeah.
Because I was doing social good every day.
Right.
Like no matter if I didn't move the needle, I was still dedicating my time and my life to helping people or not helping, just channeling the greatness and the access in people. And this is what we wanted to talk about with the farmers markets. We can have a whole discussion on
that.
But I was shining a light on things that people didn't know existed, but then also allowing them the opportunity to create it themselves. And I felt like I was living on purpose while I was working this job. And then I crossed over to the private sector. And when I was doing that, I'd taken this training a couple months back. It was Undoing Racism. And that is way too deep for this podcast. But the point of the training was for everyone to see how they contribute to a racist system and environment.
Right.
And naturally, we like to think that people who aren't Black are racist or who aren't in the minority are racist. But we all contribute to it.
Yeah.
And so that training like changed my world. It changed my life. And I think that was the first time that I understood what being woke was. Like I'd heard people say that all the time. And I was like, yeah, I guess I'm woke. I'm Black. I mean, I guess I'm woke. But that wasn't reality. Right. So I took this training and then I like this whole light had shined on everything that I was doing as an individual, as a professional, and just the things that I had the opportunity to change. And so when I was crossing over to the private sector, it was the same, like my whole entire life this year is totally different. But it was around the time where I had been approached by Mark Berger of Higher Power to be a cycle instructor. And so their gym is really nice, pretty elite, but that gym also is part of the gap between the access to healthy lifestyles for the people that like live in New Orleans and can't afford to go to places like that.
Right.
And so while like I had developed this passion around cycle and it kept me in shape and kept my body snatched, I realized that me working that job and teaching for a class of people who pay the exact amount it is to go there was continuing to contribute to a racist system and environment. I'm not saying that Higher Power is racist. What I'm saying is that there are systems created that create gaps.
Yeah.
And so I approached Mark and I'm sorry, I touched the table. I approached Mark and I was like, Mark, I love that you invited me to be a cycle instructor, but I cannot do this if I am teaching stereotypical people that attend fitness studios. And Mark, like, he was super kind. He was like, what do you want to do? And I said, I only want to teach if I'm teaching a community class, and a community class is only $10, which is still a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, I won't do it unless this is what the price point is. And he said, cool.
Yeah, that's done. Great.
Yeah.
Yep. And like, you obviously know Mark, and that's a great Mark story. And like what you said as far as like the classes and how nice and now all of those things are about higher power. True, true, and true. It's a beautiful
fast
gym.
Forward.
But Mark is very giving.
Oh, yeah.
Super.
Yes, absolutely.
Kind. So like when you tell that story, I'm just like, yeah, that sounds like Mark.
Yeah.
Mark is that guy that it's like, yep. Jump up, 504K, he's super involved with Youth Run Null. Like, just like, yeah, that fits the character. But I cannot believe that you were like, no, I'm not going to teach that class.
I couldn't.
I'm not going to teach that class. Yeah. Because I just feel like I know so many people right now that are like, you know, insert whatever fitness gym you want right now. And I probably can name 5 or 6 people that would do anything to work there,
mm-hmm.
including higher power. And so like for you to be like, no, let's change the, let's flip the game on its head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love that.
And this is, and so now to
I had no idea, to be honest, like this was like, I'm sitting here and I'm just like trying, I'm genuinely struggling for the words yet again on another night of podcasting.
Yeah.
And it's because I had no idea that that was the class that you were teaching at higher power.
And I'm going to do you one better. This is the part that she
doesn't
want me
to
share. Fuck it.
Go for it. I think that there's a way to like bypass this part that you want to tell.
No.
And just continue on.
Okay, so for all the listeners that aren't interested, you can turn off the podcast right now.
Turn it off right now.
But for everyone else that wants to hear what Mark
Markel is not here.
Look, Quest, what
so
are you going to say?
You're not sitting there. If you're in the New Orleans area, if you're traveling to New Orleans, you need to find your way to higher power on Wednesdays at 6:30 or Saturdays at 11:30.
That man knows my schedule.
Absolutely. To take a class, come in for one of the community classes that higher power, the CBD or downtown location that Whitney is teaching. If based on hearing how phenomenal of a human being that Whitney is, you're not already inclined to do it. If based on her celebrity status on Instagram with 60,000 followers, you're not inclined to take an opportunity to be in her presence, you should do it for this reason and this reason alone. In addition to creating greater access in these spaces for people in the communities like New Orleans, Whitney doesn't earn a fucking dime from higher power for the classes that she teaches, right? And that's not because it's at a lower price point or whatever. Everything she is going to be or will be paid as a cycle instructor for higher power, because they are paid instructors regardless of if they teach the community class or not. She tells them to just don't even, she doesn't want to see it, donate it directly to Youth Run NOLA.
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah.
After just the very limited time I've been able to spend with you, I am not surprised at like just how giving of a person you are. Like that's an amazing part of that story, but I'm genuinely not shocked.
Yeah.
That's
Thank
the
you.
Thing is like, yeah. I'm not shocked. It's just part of the same character that I feel as though has been strung through the entire night of podcasting, through dinner before podcast, through getting to know you through runs. Just like, I am not surprised by that at all. And I'm blown away. It's not to say that I'm not blown away by it, because I am very much, but I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
It's huge. That's why I love this. This is what makes this so good. I'm honored that I get to sit down and hang out with one of my absolute best friends in the world. Yep. Higher. 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 You can't see it.
Don't touch the table.
Hit me with that 2 max.
I got him with the 2 max extra high five.
All right. And on a closeout, how about I throw out all the handles? We are The Truest Adventure on Instagram and Facebook, Truest Adventure on Twitter. We are going to have, by the time this airs, 70 followers on Instagram.
Hey.
If you don't follow us on Instagram, you should. Of course, look to the Facebook for the notifications that new episodes have been posted on iTunes and Stitcher. And please, please do 2 things if you like anything about this podcast. Subscribe and write a review. That is what lets other people know that this is worth listening to, and people who don't necessarily know us, and there are a number of you who don't, will continue to subscribe and download it.
And the more interviews that we do, the more we talk about writing a review.
Yeah, you
and
have to.
I wrote the first review. I gave us 3 stars.
And as I committed to, once I learned that, I wrote the second review and gave us 5 stars because I thought that was bullshit and we needed to average out.
We now have 6 reviews. And if you ever listen to podcasts and you're like, man, why does every podcast talk about writing reviews? Is because there is actually something in whatever algorithm, science, mumbo jumbo, the pot that Apple stirs. And the more reviews you have, the better it is for your podcast. So please, pretty please. I, like I said, I wrote a 3-star review.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for my father to listen and write a 0-star review. I don't even think that's possible.
They were, but like, you have to click something to get it to go through.
Yeah. You have to click something for it to count as a review. But you guys all understand that my father was not a fan of the show from the first episode. And so I am begging you to please write a review, tell a friend. It's the month of March right now as we're recording this, which is National Podcast Month.
And did you make that up?
I didn't make that up.
I think that's a real thing.
It's an actual thing. It's an actual thing. But by the time this episode airs, it'll realistically be April. Mm-hmm. And that's a bummer because I would love for this episode with Whitney, who's been so kind, so giving with her time, not just with us, but with the community of New Orleans, with the community across the country, that I wish that we'd be able to like generate some buzz in the National Podcast Month. But I don't think that we're going to bring a lot of heat to the Whitney fire. I think that bonfire is like one of those ones where we're just like stand back and watch.
Right. At best, she walked into the room with the flame and maybe put some heat on us. We're not we're not adding anything.
Oh, the candle's lit. Thanks, Whitney. Oh. Thanks for bringing in the fire.
Thank you.
But I'm telling you guys, I appreciate everyone for listening. My name is Trey.
And I'm Quest. Thank you for listening to The Truest Adventure.